Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's back up a little bit in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Last week, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, but not just to them, but to us too. You know, like as I was praying, you know, just speaking about, and still, even after 40-something years, I'm still in awe that God, as far as me personally, but as far as us, that God, the creator of the universe, and again, we hear about the universe, we look up into the sky, and we see stars, not really. I mean, when's the last time we looked really up and saw the stars? There's not that many. But if you go out in the middle of the desert somewhere, I've been in New Mexico, no lights, you know, this is in the middle of nowhere, and you look up at night, you can literally, there's millions that you can see. It's not like here, you know, but anyway, you know, the creator of the universe would think about me, would think about us on this little ball, this little speck of dust in perspective of the universe, that he would think of us and even think of us so much that he would preserve his word for us through the Jewish people. You know, he put it in them, you know, to make records of things, and so that we would have, so that the Jewish people would know the history of God and the nation of Israel. And so this comes down to us this morning. And so what my point was that he's writing to the Thessalonians, but he's writing to us also. Exactly. Paul didn't, I don't think Paul knew it. I don't think Paul thought 2,000 years later, we're going to be sitting in Bayonne and reading one of his letters. And he'd be floored. And we'll get to see him someday. But he says, I digress. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Okay, so remember that the Thessalonians were worried about the believers. You know, they heard about the Lord returning from Paul and his teachings, and they were worried about, you know, those who had died before he came back. What's going to happen to them? Are they going to lose everything? What's going to go on? And so Paul tells them, basically, since we know that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we know believers who will die will be raised from the dead as well, he's saying, be assured that Jesus will bring those believers with him when he returns. Okay, so we're going to get into this a little bit more in a little bit. But in chapter 3, verse 12, and he was speaking to the Thessalonians after speaking about, you know, praying, you know, about they love one another, increase their love, though. He says in verse 12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he, God, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with what? All his saints. He's going to come back with his saints. Now, who are they? Is that just Paul and Peter and all these other guys? No. How many saints we have here today? Oh, boy. Okay, let me... Saints or believers? How many saints we have here today? Thank you. Okay, we're on the same page here. Okay. So, since he's... you know, the coming of the Lord Jesus with his saints, you know, but, you know, how is that going to work? How's that going to work? We've talked about our bodies remaining in the grave and our spirits going to heaven when we die, right? Absence from the body, present with the Lord. So are those who died going to come back in as spirits when the Lord returns? Well, we'll see. So in verse 15, Paul says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died." Okay, so Paul tells us he's passing on Jesus' own words. He's just repeating what the Lord had given him, these things. But keep this in mind, okay? And Paul mentioned two groups of people who are involved in this event when the Lord returns. He says, those believers who are alive and those who have fallen asleep or have died. Then Paul says that those believers who are alive when Jesus returns, they have no advantage over those who have died, because Paul will go on to say again that all believers, whether they are alive or have passed away, they both will share in the glorious return of the Lord. I mean, that's awesome. Okay? And that's what these Thessalonians were worried about. And so Paul surely comforted them with these words. He's going to give us a little more detail about a few supernatural events that will happen when the Lord returns, or during the Lord's return. And first he's going to talk about sounds that are associated with Jesus coming down from heaven. And the second is the resurrection of the bodies of those believers who have passed away. And the third supernatural event we'll look at is called the rapture. Okay, but we're going to take things one at a time, so I'll try to break it down. So in verse 16, Paul says, he continues, and he says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." Okay, so the emphasis in the Greek language is very strong that it is the Lord himself who will come down from heaven. Not a lookalike, not an angel, but the Lord himself will physically and personally return to the earth. Okay, so turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And if you remember, after Jesus' resurrection, he spent some 40 days with the apostles and others, teaching them many more things. You know, he was with them, what, three and a half years, taught them a lot. But they were, a lot of times like us, clueless. And it wasn't until later on that they started to remember things that he told them. And he taught them these 40 days. You know, and then finally he spoke to them about the Holy Spirit who would soon come upon them with power to do his work. So in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, it says, "Now when he had spoken these things," everything he needed to say to them, "when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Right? I mean, I get a kick out of this. I don't want to get back into this, but Luke, you know, like he just writes this like, you know, it was no big deal. You know, I just watched him go up to heaven, you know? And then the angel's just asking you, "Why are you looking up there?" I mean, really? I mean, this is not an everyday occurrence. But the point is that back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's go back there. Paul confirms what these angels told the apostles about the Lord's return. That he's going to come back in the same way. We're going to get a little more detail, you know. But not only Jesus himself will return. The Lord revealed to Paul that he will return in the rest of verse 16, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Okay? But then, you know, the beginning of the verse. He says, for the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. That's what I wanted to point out. So apparently, when the Lord returns, this is going to be a powerful, loud event. Will the whole world see and hear these things? And then, see what Paul is going to describe happening? I don't know. Is this going to be a worldly thing? Will people see it? It's difficult to say. Some say they won't, but Paul seems to say that the Lord will return with a shout and audible voice. And probably the whole earth will shake. I think they will, but that's just my opinion. You know, again, imagine hearing the Lord's voice. You know, and who knows? Maybe everyone will hear in their own language, right? I don't know. But then there will be a voice of an archangel, who many believe will be the angel Gabriel. And a number of times he made, if you look in the scriptures, Gabriel made some sort of announcement about Jesus' coming. And so this angel would fit him. And then finally we have the trumpet of God sounding also. I don't know. I can't imagine what that would sound like, the trumpet of God. Just, we can't even begin to imagine what these sounds will be like. But we know they won't be subtle. This is not just any person. This is the Lord God Almighty. Right? The one who is, the one who was and is to come. But not only will there be sounds when Jesus returns, there will be some unimaginable sights also. In the rest of verse 16, he says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So as the Lord shouts, the angel, archangel declares, and the trumpet of God sounds, those who have died in Christ will rise first. And they will have their resurrected bodies. And so Paul is telling the Thessalonians that those believers who have died will not be left out of the resurrection or the return of Jesus. That's the whole point of this. And it's to let us know also. It's to let us know also, to comfort us in these things. You know, and the thing is, in fact, those who have gone on will experience the resurrection first. They will be first. And so it seems the present dead in Christ are with the Lord spiritually awaiting their final resurrection body. And this is how they are united with it. Let's go to the left into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So how are those who have died in Christ reunited with their bodies, with their resurrected bodies? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And Paul writes, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? The last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, he's talking about our bodies, our physical bodies, corruptible, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, this flesh, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So that's how it's going to happen. The twinkling of an eye. Split second. You know, and people ask, you know, different questions about that. What about people who, you know, passed away a couple thousand years ago, cremation, all these kind of things. And again, I spoke about this. I don't know if it was here or Bible study. You know, with those questions, they're okay questions. We'll know the answer someday. But all I know is if the Lord can make Adam's body out of what? The dust of the ground? He can do it again millions of times. Amen? Really? That's the best explanation we can do. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's true. People look at this, oh, it's science fiction. Well, look what he's created. This is nothing. 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 And again, he's doing this all for us. Not for himself, for us. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. verse 35. And this is what we were just talking about. And Paul must have got that question. You know, what about these people, right? In verse 35, he says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? They asked that same exact question that we asked today. In verse 38, and he said, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, right? Out in the universe, talking about terrestrial bodies, you know, meaning earthly bodies of land, and but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown or born in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is born in dishonor, our bodies, it is raised in glory. It is born in weakness. It is raised in power. It is born a natural body and it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, meaning Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and then after the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord, is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That's us. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, you know, if we have borne the image of Adam in his flesh, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Meaning, he's saying we're going to have resurrected bodies just like the Lord did. Coming out of that tomb, he had a resurrected body. The same, but different. And Paul's saying that's what's going to happen with us and everyone else who's a believer. One more, Philippians chapter 3. Okay, and Paul again. God giving him such wisdom. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will what? Transform our lowly body. Thank the Lord. Amen. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to what? His glorious body. It's going to be just like his. according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. So Paul's saying there, listen, the grave, whatever happens in the grave, that doesn't mean anything. He's still going to raise us incorruptible with bodies unimaginable that will last forever. How long is forever? Forever. It's not going to get old, not going to deteriorate, not going to have pains and aches and all. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? I mean, he could have just saved us and still, you know, in this body, but like he said, no flesh shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It can't. It can't get in. It's too rotten, dirty. It's not going to be in heaven. So however God will do it, we are confident that his promises are true. Okay, so we've talked about those believers who have died, but what about those who are alive when the Lord returns? Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain. Okay. Say the Lord comes back today. This is speaking about us, right? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With who? With those dead in Christ that have risen first. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Whew. So this is commonly known as the rapture. Now, some people say that the word rapture is not in the Bible. And that's true if you're reading the English, an English Bible. Okay. But Paul says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the Greek words for caught up are harpazo. And a harpazo is a Greek word that means to seize or carry away by force or to snatch out of the way. Okay. And so when the New Testament was translated from Greek into Latin, the Greek word harpazo was translated into the Latin word raptus or rapturus. Okay, so we would be justified in reading this verse, and it's saying, we who are alive and remain shall be raptured. Okay, so it just, if it does, it doesn't say raptured, but that word in Latin is rapturus or raptor. So it's the same word. It's just the English word they put caught up. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 50. Again, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And now, Paul says, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We just talked about that, right? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, again, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. And in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Okay? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Okay? Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. when he appears, you, meaning believers. All right. Now, there's a lot more to the teaching of the rapture. You know, where do those who are raptured meet the Lord? He says, Paul says, they meet him in the air with those believers who had passed away. Then what? Paul says, we shall always be with the Lord. True, but there's a big difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we get them confused. Okay? They're not the same event. Okay? We believe, you know, as we see, the rapture is Jesus coming for his saints. Correct? Right? He's coming for his saints. And the second coming, we see, is coming with his saints. Okay? And so there is a difference. And when he comes that time with his saints, it's to be judged the earth and set up his kingdom. Right? Because when we just looked at those scriptures with the rapture, it says in verse 17, you know, he said, those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air. We're not meeting him on the earth, we're meeting him in the air. Okay? You know, and as far as the rapture, you know, I think we talked about it in Bible study, different things. You know, some believe, you know, when the rapture is going to take place, you know. And God willing, we'll look more into these questions about the rapture next week, unless the Lord returns for us and, you know, we're out of here. You know, but I'm going to close, but the important thing to remember today, next week, and for the rest of our lives is that Paul said in verse 15 that these are Jesus's words. He said these things would happen. And God has never failed. Jesus has never failed. Everything that God said he was going to do, he has done. So he's got a good track record, I would say. The best. Right? God is not a man that he should lie. Right? And that's why Paul said in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, therefore comfort one another with these words. Okay. And you know, there's so many things going on in life, and you know, we take comfort in these words. Right? Again, he's writing not to the Thessalonians only, but to us too, to take comfort in these promises, in his word. You know, even when we're in the midst of just lost it because of things happening in our life, it's not to minimize them whatsoever. You know, because, you know, these Thessalonians and many of these Christians, they were suffering severe persecution, losing their lives still today, being persecuted and losing their lives for being a Christian. And so, you know, give comfort to one another with these words. And so if you have a fear of flying or a fear of heights, you better start practicing, because it could happen any day. You know? Anytime. You know, and the other thing to know is that if we pass away or we are alive when Jesus returns for his saints, we will always be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. And I'm going to close with two scriptures. Let's go right next door to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10, and when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Okay. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. And this, you know, we'll be talking about next week. You know, immediately after the tribulation, verse 29, Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes on the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners of one end of heaven to the other. You know, so the rapture, we'll talk about it. You know, we believe that's God taking believers out of here at this time so Lord can bring judgment upon the earth. And again, we think things are bad with, you know, natural disasters and everything. It's going to be the worst time, the Bible says, that it has ever been for mankind. And so those who are alive, he's going to take us out of here. Just like Noah was taken out of God's judgment that time with the flood. It was basically, you know, the same thing. Judgment didn't fall upon them, really. You know, because God has judged us already. You know, we forget that. We've had our day in court for our sins. Did you know that? We had our day in court. And we were judged not guilty because Jesus took the guilt and the punishment for all our sins. And we were set free from our sins. And so we're not going to be judged again for that. But we will stand before the Lord in judgment. For what? For what we've done as Christians. That's what we're going to stand before him. What do we do with what he's given us? What do we do with what he's given us? That's what he's going to judge us on. So, but either way, we're going to see each other in heaven and those who have gone on before us.